for what I think will be December 29th, 2009. This is Gabe Knuth, and today's article is entitled Microsoft's Desktop Virtualization Product Line as of 2009. I say I think it'll be December 29th because we might change our editorial schedule a little bit, but as it stands, this is going to be out on Tuesday, so we're going to go with that. This is the last in our rundown of the Big Five's desktop virtualization product lines. We started off with Citrix and then went to, I think it was Symantec and Quest and VMware in that order. And now we're going to round it out with Microsoft. It's tough to pick a place to start with Microsoft. There's so many different products and we use them in so many different ways that it was kind of hard to just go through and kind of look at a list of everything and pick what we want. So what I ended up finding was Microsoft's Virtualization Products and Technologies website, and I just went with the stuff that's listed on that. So there's a link to it in the article. I'm sure if you're listening, you can just Google for it as well and find that website and see those products that I'm talking about. And of course, we'll go on and talk about them here too. But at least this way you can see where I'm coming from and where I got the list of products. They've broken up their virtualization technologies into six groups, four of which we care about, and the other two, not so much. The four that we care about are the server group, the desktop group, the application group, and the management group. The other two are security and solution accelerators, and they're more service and process-oriented, so we're going to leave those out. Jumping right in, the server group is where Microsoft places their hypervisors, and even though there are three products listed on the website, there's really only two, and some would say even only one, that receive any real credibility as platform hypervisors. That, of course, is Windows Hyper-V Server 2008 R2, or I should say just Hyper-V R2. There's a few different versions of that. Hyper-V Server is the free standalone kind of Hyper-V environment, and then, of course, Windows Server 2008 R2 has a Hyper-V role that you can also configure. Hyper-V 2008 R2 has a few new features from the original version of Hyper-V. Among them are live migration and hot adding and removal of storage, as well as some VHD file enhancements. Like I said, prior to that is Server 2008 Hyper-V, and that was really their first foray into the real platform hypervisor area. Prior to that was Microsoft Virtual Server. The latest version of that is 2005 R2 SP1, but I think it's been around since about 2003, if I remember. We'll have to look at the chart later. Really, I don't know anybody that uses Virtual Server as a production hypervisor for in a desktop virtualization environment, maybe as a lab or something like that. But the other ones, if you are to use a different hypervisor, VMware or Xen or something like that, you're probably just going to use that as your lab. So I can't think of too much of a use for Virtual Server these days. Moving on to the desktop side, we've got some new additions alongside of the more traditional offerings from Microsoft. First up, we have Microsoft's VDI suite, which was released earlier this year, right in the middle of the year, I think in July. The VDI suite is kind of Microsoft's entrance into the VDI space, and they sort of avoided it for a while. They always said, oh yeah, you can use RDP, it's built into Windows XP, have at it. But they never really endorsed VDI. And so the release of the VDI suite kind of serves as Microsoft's endorsement of VDI as a legitimate technology and a legitimate platform for Microsoft's products. There are two versions of the VDI suite. The first one is standard. The other one is the premium version. Each of them is priced per device per year. The standard version includes Hyper-V 2008 R2. It includes the System Center Virtual Machine Manager, System Center Operations Manager, System Center Configuration Manager, and the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack, which includes things like AppV and MedV and such. There's also a restricted version of all of the remote desktop components included with the standard version. It's got web access and session broker and so on. But you can only use it to deliver VDI and not full-on traditional server-based desktops. The premium version removes that restriction, includes everything else that Standard has, but it allows you to use remote desktop to deploy session-based desktops as well, which is what Microsoft calls SBC, or server-based desktops now. It also includes a TS-CAL, but remember, this is paid for per user or per device per year. So a regular TS-CAL is, you know, one and done. You pay for it once and you own it for life. So if you only want SBC, you're probably best off still buying TS-CALs all by yourself instead of purchasing the VDI suite. The next up is Virtual PC, which is Microsoft's workstation class Type 2 hypervisor. And in our case, what we care about the most is how it's used with Microsoft's MedV product, which is next. MedV, which was Kidaro before Microsoft acquired them, I think early last year in 2008. MedV allows you to manage virtual machines running on the endpoints via Virtual PC centrally, so that you can provide them with a legacy, you know, pre-Vista OS to run applications that might not run in Vista or Windows 7. This is what's behind the Windows 7 XP mode, and that's about the only reason that we as the desktop virtualization community care about Microsoft Virtual PC. Last up is Remote Desktop Services. And this is what was once called Terminal Services way back in 1998, I think, is when Terminal Server Edition came out. And it's now, since R2, since 2008, R2 has been released. It's been rebranded as Remote Desktop Services. And that's largely because of the push towards, or the trend towards, VDI. It was Terminal Services when you accessed a terminal server. And now, since we have VDI and Terminal Server, we've got this this new focus on the desktop instead. And so that's why we call this Remote Desktop Services, because we don't really care where it's coming from. It's just a remote desktop. All the services and all that stuff in Windows 2008 R2 have been renamed to Remote Desktop, blah, 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 instead of Terminal Server, blah, blah, blah. Next up, is the application group. And the application group consists of one thing, and that is all, and that is Microsoft Application Virtualization, or AppV. Formerly Microsoft SoftGrid, which was Softricity SoftGrid, which was Software Wow. This is Microsoft's application virtualization and streaming solution, and the technology is included with the Microsoft VDI suite bundles. The last group is the largest group, and that's the management side. And depending upon how you look at it, it could be one of the smaller groups. You could just say System Center. But Microsoft has broken it down into all of the different System Center plugins that affect desktop virtualization. Among them are System Center Virtual Machine Manager, which is used to manage virtual servers running either a version of Hyper-V or Virtual Server, including converting physical machines into virtual machines and live migrations and things like that. This software is included with the Microsoft VDI suite, either of the bundles. Next up is the System Center Data Protection Manager, or SCDPM. Formerly, this was called Data Protection Server, and it's Microsoft's backup solution tailored to virtualized environments, but it is not included with any of the VDI suite bundles. Moving on to System Center Operations Manager. This is formerly Microsoft Operations Manager, and it was three things before that even. I have a list. It used to be, prior to MOM, it was NetIQ Enterprise Event Manager, and that lasted for about 6 months. Prior to that, it was Mission Critical Software's Enterprise Event Manager, and prior to that, it was Sentry ELM from the Serverware Group all the way back in 1994. SCOM, it's this monitoring solution, really, that it plugs into your organization's physical and virtual infrastructure, and you can use it in combination with the virtual machine manager to automatically resolve issues as they come up or alert people as issues come up. It is included in the Microsoft VDI suite bundles. Next is System Center Configuration Manager, and this is what was formerly SMS, which I also learned from making the chart that SMS goes back as far as 1994 as well. So, man, just a really long lineage for some of these products. SMS, obviously, or SCO or SCCM, is used to automate system and application installations, updates, patching, and general task automation on just about any type of computer, physical or virtual or otherwise. It is included in the Microsoft VDI suite bundles. Last in the management group is the System Center Service Manager, and this product isn't even out yet, really. It's in beta right now. They're looking for a release in 2010. I don't know if that's, you know, a Q1 or a Q2 or, you know, a Q7 thing, but it's basically going to be a workflow automation product that will plug into your System Center environment and can be used to automate some tasks between System Center products. No information yet on whether it will be included in the VDI suite bundle, but my guess is that it won't. No real reason for that, though. And then on to the chart, really. So obviously we can't see it. The chart took a lot longer to make than I thought it would, but digging in, you know, to the origins of things like MOM took a lot longer than I thought. Including finding all the release dates of some of this stuff, because when you go back to 1994, there is no internet archive of that, really. It's tough to find. Unless they posted something on Usenet, it's kind of tough. So if any of it is wrong, if you go to the website and check it out, if anything's wrong, blame that on archive.org and Wikipedia or any of the random press releases that I found out there. That's really about it for these product roundups. I think as more things change in 2010 and probably into 2011, we'll redo these, but these will probably hold their water for a good 12 to 18 months, again, unless there's some sort of big shakeup. So check out the website for the chart, and thanks for listening.